after all the jacks are in the boxes, and the clowns have all gone to bed, you can hear happiness staggering on down the street. Footprints dressed in red, and the wind whispers clearly. A broom is drearily sweeping up the broken pieces of yesterday's life. Somewhere a queen is weeping, somewhere a king has no wife. And the wind, it cries very.
This is DJ Mags, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. This is the String of Pearls show, and I'm very excited to announce that this is going to be a special edition where my mom is guest starring. We are having some brief microphone technical issues, so we'll fix that in a moment. She'll be able to chat, and we will ask her some questions about her own radio station days back when she was at Reed in Oregon, and she was very much more in charge of the radio station there. I'm just a DJ here at WMFO. But we're going to be doing, she's a super cool cat and has had a lot of friends in bands or worked with bands, and she did manage a band. She will also talk more about that, but for now, we'll play you a song from the band she managed, Obituaries. So this is Living at Home.
Thank you.
All right, so that second song was also by The Obituaries, Bad Habits song. And now that we have figured out how to change profiles on the soundboard, my mom can introduce herself. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Maggie's mom.
Oh, wait, which mic are you on?
I'm on mic 3.
Mic 3. All right, mic 3 is now on. So introduce yourself again.
Hi, I'm Maggie's mom.
Say your full name.
My name is Fiona Ortiz. I'm very happy to be here on WMFO.
Yes, correct. So do you want to tell our loyal listeners a little bit about your own days at the radio station at Reed?
I was at KRRC, which was Reed College Radio, from 1982 to 1986, and I was the music director during most of that time, which involved picking up stacks of records that arrived at the mail room and taking them up to an attic, small attic room, and opening the boxes and then adding the records to our catalog. And we had this complicated color coding tape that we put on the spine of each record. And then the other big thing that the music director did was we would fill out all of the DJs would fill out a list of the songs they had played. And then I would go through those, I think on a weekly basis, to find the most played songs.
Wow.
And I would submit those to the college radio magazine. So we would influence the top college radio hits of the day. We were usually slightly out of step, although no matter how out of step I wanted the DJs to be, we always seemed to have REM at the top of our charts, just like every other college radio station in the early 80s.
Well, I'm sure we can play some REM later, because you have some two degrees of connection to REM in some capacity. So we can try to, if we're playing bands that my mom has some sort of connection to,
some,
I think
we
can find
connection.
An excuse to play REM if we want.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, there's stories.
But would you listen to a lot of the different radio shows?
Oh, did I listen to other people's radio shows? That's a really good question. Oh, the radio station was on at the coffee shop, which was, oh no, I know. The coffee shop was run, the campus coffee shop was run by a commercial entity. And one of the huge controversies on campus was that they only played commercial radio. And so there was an upstart cafe called Paradox Cafe that was started up by students and student run, and they played the campus radio station 24 hours a day.
Wow. I can't say that our equivalent of our student run coffee shop, The Sink. The Sink is very much, the music is dominated by the aux of whoever is working there. So I don't think they played WMFO. We don't have a spot on campus, I don't think, other than, of course, a station that is playing us 24/7.
You need a new upstart cafe.
Yeah, we can try. We can try. The sink recently rebranded itself. It used to be The Res, but now it's The Sink. But do you want to introduce your connection to the band we're about to play, Faith No More?
Oh, Faith No More. I grew up in the Bay Area and then moved to Portland, Oregon for college, and Faith No More was a Bay Area band. And so when they would come up to, I didn't know them very well, but friends knew them. So whenever they'd come up to Portland, they'd crash at my house for a couple of years at least.
All right. So we're going to play Epic by Faith No More. So that's up next.
Way. You will never understand it, cause it happens too fast. And it feels so good, it's like walking on glass. It's so cool, so hip, it's alright.
So you lay down on it, then you do it some more. You got to share it, so you dare it.
That was Epic by Faith No More. Yes, the mics are on. Yes, we're good. All right, solid. Can you tell I don't usually use a lot of features on the soundboard? But I have a question for you before we play another band that you're connected to in some way. Was there ever drama in the radio station?
I don't remember. Minimal drama. Oh, yeah, there was some drama.
Ooh, you made a face there. Now I'm even more intrigued.
Well, there was minimal drama some small drama in that I got really involved before I graduated from college with the local music scene in Portland, which was pretty happening in 1985, 1986. This is kind of like on the cusp of grunge. And so I'd bring off campus wacky musician types into the studio a lot, and I think that caused some minimal drama because there were these weirdos. I mean, it was a weirdo campus anyway, but then there were like even more weird people wandering around. I think the big drama was that the soundboard was mysteriously, someone broke into the radio station and stole the soundboard. But we needed a new soundboard, and insurance covered the stolen soundboard. So we got a really nice new soundboard. And it was never discovered who might have done.
Fascinating. Maybe somebody should steal the WMFO soundboard so we can get a fancy new one.
This setup here is really nice. We did not have guest mic. We had two mics, but you had to squeeze in next to your guest, so it was a little uncomfortable if you had a guest on the air. And this is a pretty nice setup. If you can't see, this room, but I'll tell you, there's all these like very nice mics hanging off of nice stands. And plus, the radio station that I was at was in a basement. And this has a nice view.
Yeah, we do have a nice view. We have a nice view of the memorial steps on the Tufts campus. Yeah, it is. We do
I love college nice radio, by the way. I love college radio. College radio was so fun.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a good time. I like that we have plenty of people from within the community who also come in and do shows. And I love listening to my friends' shows or putting on WMFO when I have the chance, seeing if I... Sometimes I'll stay and listen to some funky music I would never have listened to otherwise. But it's extra fun when you tune into someone and they're playing plenty of songs that you like. We're going to play a song by Sleater-Kinney, if you want to explain your connection to Sleater-Kinney.
Oh, I'm, well, she's no longer with the band, but I'm friends with Janet Weiss. She and I hung out in the 80s in Portland. I remember when she moved to town, there was great excitement when she moved to town, and she was already an established musician and just brought a lot of energy to the scene. And I was working at the Alt Weekly newspaper at that time, and then she started working there too, and we had a lot of fun hanging out.
Ah, such a cool story. So this is going to be I Want to Be Your Joey Ramone by Sleater-Kinney.
Rise it till I'm dead. It's your rewards.
right, that was I Want to Be Your Joey Ramone by Sleater Kinney. So, Mom, what got you into the music scene in general, but also how did you get into managing a band, which was the couple of songs that we played earlier by Obituaries? Tell us about how you got into that scene.
Well, all through high school, I really loved music and started toward the end of high school going to see live shows. I was really disappointed that I grew up in the Bay Area, but I had kind of missed the whole hippie thing. So
I am also disappointed.
So I felt like I
for you and for myself.
I felt like I wanted to be part of a movement, so I really glommed on to punk rock. I got really into punk rock and hardcore. And I think initially for about a minute, I thought, well, obviously to really be part of this movement, I need to be in a band. So I think for maybe 2 seconds, I tried to play bass and soon realized that was not to be. And so I looked for roles for myself in music that it didn't involve actually playing music, and that ended up being radio, it ended up being managing a band, it ended up being promoting shows, it ended up being, and then it ended up being a rock critic. So I was always looking for these roles that brought me as close to music as possible. So I did a lot of radio. I continued in community radio after college radio.
Yeah, worked in a record shop.
I worked in a record shop. Everything was music. Absolutely, mm-hmm. Everything was music. Yeah. And
you almost worked in LA, right? Also in potentially music.
Yeah, right after college, I went down to LA and I went to all of the small record labels, like all the small indie labels, to see if any of them would give me a job. But the indie labels were all indie. They were all run by like a small group of friends for like no profit, so they didn't have jobs for college graduates. So I ended up getting offered a job at Billboard magazine, but Billboard magazine was like the antithesis of everything I stood for, so I had to turn it down on ethical grounds.
Do you think that you still live up to your punk ideals today?
Oh no, I don't know. Probably not. No.
I think after a brief stint in corporate. The corporate world, I think Mom's still pretty punk in a lot of ways. But did you have another comment there?
No.
All right, solid. Okay, so the next band that we're going to play is Pere Ubu, if you want to explain your connection to Pere Ubu.
Oh, I think Pere Ubu is the only... I interviewed quite a few artists on my radio show when they would come to town, but I think that... David Thomas from Pere Ubu is maybe the best known. I really liked Pere Ubu. They were art punk, weird noise band, and he was very articulate and interesting. Maybe a little sad when I interviewed him, as I recall, but it was good. It was good to have him on the radio show. I probably have a tape of it somewhere.
Oh, cool. All right, so this is Modern Dance by Pere Ubu.
Chili!
All right, so that was Modern Dance by Pere Ubu. And up next, we're going to play a song by Napalm Beach, if you want to tell us about Napalm Beach.
Napalm Beach, so in the Portland, Oregon had a really great punk scene coming out of the late 70s, early 80s. Poison Idea, Neo Boys, The Wipers, Sado Nation, The Rats, and many other bands. One of my huge favorites was Napalm Beach. Starting my junior, senior year in college, the Satyricon opened, which was Portland's seminal punk club and was around for many years. And I ended up working there and doing a lot of activities there. And it really became a home away from home for me after college. But during college, I had a wonderful friend who was also at the radio station who had a car. She had a Volkswagen Bug. And every Friday night, Napalm Beach played at the Satyricon. And we would jump in the Bug and drive downtown listening to Napalm Beach on a cassette on the way to the show. And then we would rock out to Napalm Beach. I just loved this band. I love this band. Chris Newman, who is sadly is gone, was a fantastic guitarist. I just, you know, this band should have taken over the world.
I'll ask you more about Satyricon after we play a little bit of Napalm Beach, because I definitely grew up listening to a lot about Satyricon and listened or saw very interesting band names on posters and was always intrigued by those. But this is Holy Ground by Napalm Beach.
Walking on holy ground, I don't know how long I'll be around. I can hear the sound of trumpets blowing, coming down. Don't wanna live here. Give me time to prove that. For all I know, there's things I walking on holy ground, the feeling will astound. The dirt is such a brown. Remove your shoes at the edge of town. Go back and tell the people you saw a falling star. It was a sign from heaven. You can't stay where you are.
All right, you were just listening to Holy Ground by Napalm Beach. So Satyricon is now closed down, correct?
Sadly.
But I believe that it was through there that you really, I mean, you were already a rock critic and you were already in the journalist scene a little bit, but it was through something that happened at Satyricon that you really got more involved in journalism. Is that true?
No, there was another club across the street.
Oh, it was a different club.
Called
okay.
Starry Night, which okay. was the bad commercial. Well, I don't know. At the time, it seemed to me to be the mainstream place. It was like a 5,000 seat place. It was a big club, and the owner of that club hired someone to help with booking, who I knew vaguely because he had gone to the same college as I did. And the owner of the club killed this young kid that he had hired because the owner of the club, Larry, was running a ticket scam, and this poor kid like figured out the ticket scam and tried to blow the whistle on him, and the owner of the club killed him and hid his body. And I did a couple of stories in the early days of that horrific happening, and that ended up, I didn't write news stories, I did rock criticism, but this was clearly a news story that intersected with the rock world, and I knew both the victim and the murderer, and so I wrote several stories about it at the beginning.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. So it was the Starry Night Club, not Satyricon.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
gone.
Good to know.
Also,
yeah. I think we visited Portland. Well, I mean, you've been to Portland much more frequently than I've been to Portland once, and I got a tour. There's a lot of family lore since you and Dad met in Portland. So I got the tour of all the important places. And we went to Satyricon, and there was definitely no Satyricon, and I don't think there was a Starry Night place either. But moving away from that slightly morbid tale, what was Dave's ballroom? I'm thinking of a specific poster.
The mayor's ball. Oh, and Dave's ballroom. Yes, yeah. Okay, I know what Dave's ballroom was. Oh, so the mayor of Portland had this big thing called, I think he'd had it as a fundraiser or before he was elected, or it was a ball to raise money to pay back his supporters after he was elected. This was the famous mayor who like ran a pub and did the statue Expose Yourself to Art. I'm fading on his name. He was a very famous Portland mayor. So he had this ball. I think actually maybe it was originally called Bud's Ball, and then it became the mayor's ball.
Okay.
But all of the big bands in town would be invited to play at this annual event, and it was kind of a big mover and shaker thing. Everyone in town was at the mayor's ball, and of course none of the punk bands were invited. So this guy who owned a record store, it was not the record store I worked at, but another record store, he put together something called Dave's Ball, and that had all the punk bands.
Oh, got it.
So okay. It was the alternative to the mayor's ball. Mm-hmm. But things became really enlightened, or maybe co-opted soon thereafter, because they added like an annex to the mayor's ball. And within a couple of years, we were all the punk bands were playing at the mayor's ball too. It's kind of cool. I have photos of us all hanging out at the mayor's
at the mayor's ball,
in the punk room.
I can't see something like the mayor's ball really happening here in Boston. I could see it maybe happening in Somerville. Somerville can be cool, but I don't see it happening in Boston. But we do only have a little bit of time left. So we're going to be playing a song by Wipers. You had a lot of trouble picking which song you wanted to play by Wipers. So tell us about the band, your connection, and why you like them.
I love every song by the Wipers. Another band that just... I mean, a cult favorite. A lot of people know and love the Wipers, but never really got their due the way they should have. Greg Sage, complete genius, songwriter, guitarist, singer, had lots of different lineups over the years, but it really is Greg Sage's band. He moved away from Portland, but kept making music. Absolutely was a band that I saw every opportunity I could get. And to me, the Wipers signified Portland in a really deep way. I think everyone has a very deep connection to the city of their 20s, and I really romanticized Portland a lot for a long time after I moved away. I left Portland many, many years ago, but I was there for much of my 20s, and I really idealized it, and the Wipers kind of were the music of Portland. To me, there were many years I couldn't even listen to the Wipers because it was so emotional for me. But wow. I love the Wipers and Greg Sage, and he's a very evocative artist.
All right, with that wonderful introduction, then, this is going to be Over the Edge by the Wipers.
Just a mockery.
All right, so that was Over the Edge by Wipers.
The Wipers. The Wipers.
Well, on Spotify it says just Wipers. Oops. I've never been able to find this article since. I think it was a Slate article, but it was like this article and quiz combination that was like, do you know if there is a the before this famous band or not?
And
it was
the name of the band is Talking Heads.
Oh, nice reference there. All right. I did it like years and years and years ago back in my, I never had like an emo phase, but I did have like a phase where I was like, I thought that I was discovering all this music that is very much, you know, you already listened to and dad already listened to and other people already listened to, but I thought it was cool because I thought I was listening to it for the first time. And I just remember being humbled by that article because I thought that plenty of bands had the in front or didn't, when I was quite wrong. But we're going to play one song by Hole, which of course is a band that Courtney Love was in. And you, while in Portland and the whole Northwest scene, did rub shoulders with Nirvana and Kurt Cobain and Courtney Love, and you have some funny stories about them if you would like to tell a couple today.
Well, it's kind of impossible to avoid Courtney Love if you hung out in the Northwest music scene in the mid to late 80s. She was everywhere and in your face and knocking over your Christmas tree, throwing up in your car. So those are my two stories. She was a pretty in-your-face personality. There's no doubt about it. I have to say now that when I look back on a lot of... So when I started writing about pop and rock music for Willamette Week, kind of around 87, I think I started doing that, I spent 5, 6, 7 nights a week at clubs listening to bands. It's just all I did. Plus, I had a local music radio show on community radio on KBOO in Oregon. But when I look back on it, especially kind of the early sub pop years, I'm kind of ashamed how many nights I sat watching like four guys on stage. I mean, there were just so many, and a lot of them that we've played. Napalm Beach, which we just played, Faith No More, Per Ubu, the Wipers, a lot of these bands were guys. So, it is exciting. The other things that started happening in the music scene, certainly Sleater-Kinney being one of them, certainly Obituaries, the band I managed, had Monica Nelson leading the band and
great
singing
voice.
With a wonderful voice. And we also had a woman bassist, Regina LaRocca, for many years.
And of course you as band manager.
And me as band manager. So there was, and I did... There were many other emerging women artists at the time who were so inspiring. I was not a huge Hole fan. I was not a huge Courtney Love fan. But I think she did have an influence, and the scene that she was part of had an influence. I loved Mia Zapata, the Gits. I loved a lot of the Riot Grrrl bands. I did not spend much time watching them on stage, though. I don't remember like shows with them. I think maybe they were slightly later than when I moved away from Portland and moved to Central America. So I think there was a transition there that I missed out on. But I do look back at a lot of my music scene days watching a lot of guys on stage, and I'm so glad that it's not as dominated by men anymore. Another band I love that we might not get to is Dead Moon.
Yeah, true.
Portland classic with a woman in the band who were absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, and there's the story of Courtney Love throwing up in your car. There's a story of Courtney Love, I believe, drunkenly knocking over your Christmas tree. But there's also a story of a dispute about ticket sales between you and Nirvana, the band that you managed, the Obituaries, and Nirvana. I believe there's a story there.
Yeah, it's a minor story.
It's a minor story.
No, they just watched like a. By the time I was working the door at the Satyricon, and it was a night that Nirvana were playing, and for some reason they had gotten it into their head that at Satyricon we would take money out of the door till and not give all of the take to the bands, which was absolute bullshit. But I just remember the manager of Nirvana, like, you know, I'm missing the band because I'm working the door for one, which was crap. And then she's like watching me like a hawk all night, every dollar into the till, to make sure that Nirvana got their cut, which of course they did. It was silly.
Do you remember your, was there like a period where you were like, oh, this band's is really going somewhere?
Or? Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. I remember their first single. Well, Sub Pop already had a buzz. So we were already really following everything that was going on with Sub Pop. And then Nirvana, for sure, I remember listening to the first record at a friend's house and at the record store, and the craziness over the first single and the Sub Pop release. And yeah, there was a feeling.
All right. So with that, we're not going to be playing Nirvana in honor of not playing more men. So we'll play Celebrity Skin by Hole. And I think that might be our last song for today. And then we'll finish up with some final chit chat. But this is Celebrity Skin by Hole.
Look at my face. My name is might have been. My name is never was. My name forgotten.
Okay, so that was Celebrity Skin by Hole, and we're going to get a PSA read by, not yours truly, read by dearest Fiona Ortiz, my mom.
This is a PSA about the worldwide prison population. The United States has the world's largest documented prison population, both in absolute and proportional terms. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, more than 2.2 million prisoners are behind bars in the United States, a rate of 730 people per 100,000 people. China, which is 4 times more populous than the United States, is a distant second with 1.51 million people in prison, a rate of 117 per 100,000, while Russia has the second highest rate, 606 per 100,000, for a total of 865,000 prisoners. These are numbers to think about, and this is a message in the public interest from WMFO in Medford. And I have to say that a lot of states are really working hard to attack this issue, especially through bail reform. Bail reform reduces the number of people in jail. Jail is different from prison. Jail is for very short sentences or for pretrial incarceration. But through bail reform, hopefully that will also have a knock-on effect to fewer people serving time in prison. It's a national shame, and a lot of wonderful people around the country are working very hard to on these issues.
Yeah, so in addition to being a cool band manager, working at a record shop, doing rock critic work, you had a career in journalism for about 2 decades, had a brief stint in the corporate world, and then as of, I believe it's almost 1 year now today.
Exactly 1 year.
Exactly 1 year ago today.
For this week. Exactly
for this 1 week. Year. Exactly. Exactly. sort of exactly 1 year ago.
Forget
today.
All my praise for the great equipment here. The microphone just fell
the
off of its stand
just,
and crushed my leg.
Yeah. But my final point there was that you now work for the Public Defender's Office, or the Public Defense Office in Cook County in Illinois. And so that's why you're so knowledgeable about this stuff and are doing great work in this fear of moving towards a more deincarcerated world. But this was a String of Pearls show with such a special guest, and just such a cool person. I love my mom so much, and I say that occasionally on the air, but you're not always listening because you have work. But I'm so, so, so happy that you got to be here. And I'm so glad to all of those of you who did tune in to String of Pearls and 91.5 FM